Welcome to the Planning Board meeting on September 17th, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
Are we good?
Yes, we are.
All right. I'd like to call the September 17th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So we'll get down here. Judy.
Yes. Mark. Present.
Yeah, yes, present. Here. Yeah. Mark, present. Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Dave.
Present.
Linda.
Here.
And Kevin.
Yes.
Good. So, do not see him online. Our only true agenda item tonight, well, if he dials in later, we can switch back to him, but our only true agenda meeting tonight is an informational hearing. I guess I can read it and we can continue it if he doesn't show up. How's that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, applicant owner Robert B. Cupes? 7110 Pine Burr Lane, Sylvania, Ohio, 43560. Property location, 279 Critchett Road, Candia, New Hampshire. Lot 407, map 407, lot 9. Intent to subdivide 3-acre building lot with 200 feet of frontage at the corner of Island and Critchett Roads, and use the 60-foot access on Critchett Road to access potential building site on the remaining 37 acres. 60-foot access at 279 Critchett Road has been previously approved by the town road agent Dennis Lewis.
Hmm.
So he's not here to really testify, but I guess, I don't know whether we can talk about it or not, but if you look at the map,
technically, Dennis doesn't have the authority to approve it.
Correct.
Right.
Dennis. All he said was that met the required footage for a road.
Correct. So.
Good point.
Yeah. And what Dennis Lewis said, God bless his soul, doesn't really matter anymore. Right.
Right.
Even if it is, it's long past due.
Wait. I did find the driveway permit that Dennis Lewis submitted, and it's 2021-253 is the number for the permit. I didn't find like the actual permit, but I did find evidence of it. I don't know if that's
okay.
Anything.
But it looks like here, Megan. Just so again, even if he doesn't come on next time around, we have our act together to really talk to him. If I'm looking at this right, it looks like there's 229 plus 190 of road frontage on that. Okay, I thought it was only 200 feet, but
that's for lot 7. I mean, 10 is get the 200-foot, I believe, is what he's saying.
Oh, 110.
The 190 and the 228 is the remaining for that back piece.
Well, no. This lot, 407-10, is not his lot.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is not the subdivision.
Lot. Okay.
This is not his lot.
That's a...
He's got 407-9.
Okay.
So
it just has that right away on the other side of that lot, I see.
Correct.
Okay.
But in his application, he says 200 feet of road frontage.
He's counting Thrasher Road, too.
So it looks like the 228.9 is on Thrasher?
Correct.
Yeah.
228.9 is on Thrasher, and 190 is on
Critchett Road? Yeah.
So that gives him 400 feet. Which he needs to be able to subdivide it.
But why does he want the 60 feet off Critchett?
Well, I think he's thinking that could be the driveway.
Oh.
And that's,
you know, for the back lot.
For the back lot. Which he can do.
Well.
Because he owns it.
He owns it, but he can't just get a driveway permit without.
Right, because if he gets rid of 200 feet. He doesn't have enough footage, right?
Well, no,
right.
He's got 190 and 229 up there, if we're reading this correctly.
He's got 190 plus 60.
No, I think he's got 190 plus 228. See the two numbers?
Right. But the 60 feet on the left side of that of 22-10
right.
is also frontage, right?
Correct. Yeah, so he's got 228-190 plus 60.
So he's got more than 220 and more than 200 and more than 200.
Correct.
I wonder why. Yeah, he wants to go in through that little area.
Because he wants to put the 3-acre lot right
well,
there.
I think what he was thinking was that that would just be the frontage for that back lot. I
Correct.
Think he was thinking he would put this up here, put a house, you know, a house
up here. I see. Okay, so maybe put a 3-acre building lot here and then still have access.
Correct.
Here. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Just like it says.
Yeah, which
but now
that,
it's sinking in.
Yeah, but which mm-hmm. that he can't do.
So he's actually on Island Road, not Thresher.
No. It's yeah. Critchett Road.
Oh, it's
Critchett and Island.
Critchett and Island. Yep, yep. Sorry. You're right. Sorry. Yep.
I think he
Critchett
might have
and
called in.
Nope.
I see that there's a phone on there.
Right there.
Bob, can you
That's
hear
That's
Critchett us?
Road.
Thresher
That's
Thresher.
Island there.
No.
That's Thresher. Oh, it's upside down.
Unmuted?
Yeah, he's unmuted.
Hmm.
Bob, can you hear us?
Is he there?
I see the phone here, and I think that might be happening.
Well, and what if he's muted at his end?
We cannot hear you.
Oh, he's talking.
Is the volume on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why it's not showing. It says that he's here and he's unmuted. Hmm. I'm not sure. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay.
So that's not Thresher Road, that's Island Road.
Yeah. That's what
yeah, because when you look at this, it's you're looking at the wrong direction.
Yeah.
On the town map, and that says, oh, wait a second, 10. No, that's 4. That's 40.58 acres, according to our maps.
45, it's saying?
It says 40.58.
40.58.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I tell you what we're going to do. I'm just going to say this to in case he can hear. Since we're talking about it, Mr. Cupings?
Cupets.
We're going to continue to talk about this, so if you're hearing, great. If you're not hearing, we will at least have gotten our thought process out of the way. You come back in. We can give you the information again.
And you can hear the recording.
And you can hear the recording. Okay?
He's not on there, huh?
Well, he can't.
Won't see it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard.
Can't see a hand or anything.
It's going to be hard for us to even think of anything because we don't know how much of the land here is going to 3 acres.
Well, but I mean, what we can tell him is that he's going to have to draw that line.
He has to cut it across.
He's going to have to cut it somewhere there.
You only have to see
do you have the actual frontages yet anywhere?
So. Yeah, the actual frontages are correct.
They are correct.
Yep, 190.49.
Mm-hmm.
190.228.9.
Yep.
Okay, so those are correct. Good.
Yep. Well, they match.
Yeah.
But so, we're going to have to know how much frontage is actually going to the 3 acres.
Correct.
See where it is and what's remaining.
He's going to have to draw the property line such that he's got a total of 200 per building lot.
Correct.
Right, that's the kicker. Right, and he can use that 60 plus, he can use that 62 plus 140 on the other side of lot 10.
190.
Oh, well, he's saying that you take the 62 plus 140, that gives you 200. So then, So then the other side could be 250, but of course, with the angles, it's not that wide.
Yeah,
it's so interesting because you have 190, but it doesn't, I guess, have to be contiguous like upland.
Correct. It doesn't say contiguous. It doesn't say on one road.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
It also, the definition of a road. I mean, it doesn't have to be a town road. It's any road that's been approved in a subdivision. So it just has to be road frontage.
We just need to actually know where the boundary is going to be cut.
Right. Right.
I have a question. Is there state regs about driveway cuts in proximity to intersections and distances? Like if he wants to put a driveway cut there, is there enough room for him to put one there as far as...
Be up to the PD and the road agent.
Yeah.
Okay, but so it's not a state reg?
Town roads now.
Downtown roads.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a Jeff and PD thing.
That's a good, they're just, their good biggest question, concern though,
is that, just site distance. You know,
we got lots of.
Right, because like, that's a, and Thresher's right across the street. So correct. It's like, yeah. Where the driveway gets put in is going to be on an intersection. And is there regs about that?
Yeah.
Well, distance, site distance too.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's why the board agent and the PD would be involved. Right.
Because that might affect where he can draw the lines.
Yeah, totally.
Yep, good point. So
it's very interesting. I've never seen this in all my years.
yeah, this is a unique one. Well, it's just kind of like that thing at Highland in 27, right? Mm-hmm. We had that, you know.
It's weird that they would have cut that piece out of that and left that.
Yeah, I know it. Like, why didn't they just move it over?
It's really strange. But if you're still on the phone and you can hear us, there's kind of your answer. You do have enough frontage to subdivide, but you're going to have to make sure that both lots have over 200 feet, and you're going to have to make sure you can get a safe driveway into both lots.
Yep.
And you technically could use that 60-foot, that 62-foot road frontage to do a driveway to the back lot.
Now, Dennis said before that meets specifications. Is that actually the same as having a permit to do that? Like, is that a legit?
No.
His statement?
Yeah.
No. But I mean, the situation is, all he's looking from us would be to subdivide the lots, and then Rich, I'm sure they're going to do, you know, unless they're looking to subdivide the lots and build both houses at the same time. If not, he's going to sell one off, then that's just a Rich thing to do the building permits.
Right, okay.
Right. All right. And there we go. That's the end of that. And Megan, I hope you got the information you needed. I'm sure I'll reach out to you. Again, if not, just have him dial in the next meeting. And
I'm sure he doesn't want to. If he gets it denied, he didn't want to bother having it surveyed. And set it down. That makes sense, but it's hard to look at this and say, "Where are you putting the 3 acres?" Yeah.
Right. I mean, we can't tell him where to put it. Right. This is an informational hearing. We can tell him what he's got to do.
Yeah.
And then he's got to put it together and come back to us if he wants to do it. So approval of minutes. I have to admit, I did not read the minutes, so I don't know if anybody else.
I read them. They're fine.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't see anything
either. AI.
Perfect. AI and Megan. Way to go.
So motion to accept the minutes as
presented.
As presented.
I'll second that.
And okay, Judy.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Mark.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Dan, Dave. Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I do that every now and then. You know that? I do that.
Yeah, you slip it in. Just keep it on my toes.
It starts with a D.
Yeah, right? Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's like I also, you know, will oftentimes call Megan Amy. And
yeah, but that's understandable.
I still call my son's dog Shelby, my old dog.
That's the way it is.
And if you may.
Okay, approval of minutes.
Do not call your wife by an ex-girlfriend's name.
Yeah. Exactly, or an ex-wife's name.
A good idea.
Now,
I never had one, so it didn't matter.
Now, I have never called, okay, we're digressing. I've never called my wife by my ex-wife's name, but she has, on a few occasions, called me by her first ex-husband's name. She's called me Ted. And it's like
that's close. So Ted and Tim.
Well, I think that's what what the thing
Dave
is.
Dave and Dan.
But they've been divorced for like 35 years.
I still sometimes write my maiden name, and I've been married 43 years.
it's called head trash.
Yeah. So the only other thing I wanted to bring up is as far as town engineer, we pulled the contract with Stantec. It is not a contract. It is really terms and conditions.
Yeah.
It is not dated at all. There is no date even on the signature lines. So I don't know when it was signed.
Who would do that?
Well, I don't know who signed that contract. Um, It does not name them as a town engineer or any such thing. It does not state it's exclusive. It just is terms and conditions. The scope is whatever work orders are signed.
Okay.
So we are free to do as we choose. We don't have to terminate the agreement. And
nice.
If we decide we want to terminate the agreement once all our work is done with them, then it would have to be the select board that did it because Brian signed as chairman of the select board.
Sounds good.
So we can proceed in the future with another vendor.
Correct. We can start
using... We just want to clean up old business.
We can start going forward. You know, we can start using Keach and Nordstrom.
So make a recommendation to the Board of Selectmen with a letter then.
That we're going to start using Keach and Nordstrom?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we can...
Well, should we at least put it out there to get some bids from... Different engineering firms.
No. We're not required to.
Bids for what?
Like we've done
the work, and then we, you know, so it looks like we're not trying to be biased or anything, but we actually, hey, we put it out for a town engineer. They can apply to us. We can do our due diligence and make our suggestion to the Board of Selectmen.
So they don't necessarily cost us money because we pass all these costs on to the developer, per se, right? So
unless
we hire someone from the town.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. So typically it seems like when you send out things for bid, it's because of cost. And sometimes you go lowest cost and you get lowest. So I appreciate what you're saying, but I wonder if because of that there's a little bit of a what we're really looking for is relationship and solid advice and turnaround time and not so much money.
I'm actually, sounds like a politician, but I'm actually going to agree with both of you because my initial intent was that, to go out and
well,
get
legally,
get two
do
or three.
We have to do that?
No,
because it's
a... It's not a town contract, right?
It's just terms and conditions.
Yeah, we're not even going to sign anything with him. It's just it's who we've selected to review the plans.
Our plans. Okay.
Right, because we could use State Keach and Nordstrom, we can use Stantec, we could use Dubay Group if we wanted to, because we determine who reviews the plans, right? So my initial intent was to go through that whole process. But with the recommendations I got, I went to Keach and Nordstrom, and I ended up exactly where you just said, Dave, which is I found that relationship to be really strong.
When you get dealt blackjack, you just stand pat. Yeah, it's like we intended to go knock on some doors and talk to people, but when you got the right guy to walk through the door, it seemed like a sure fit, like a good fit.
That was kind of my take. But again, I'm not driving this bus, right? I'm
just wondering, legally.
You're steering.
Legally,
yeah, I'm steering.
Binding.
You got the gas.
So if the town needs an engineer, would that go out to bid? Like if
not if we had somebody
okay.
with Stantec, we would have used Stantec.
So
yeah, but you didn't
use
Stantec for the
Stantec,
town,
right.
Not for the police station, because
no.
of cost. So
yeah, because
no.
just...
Yeah. And the last
time we
tried to get rid of Stantec, it went out to bid to a... few different ones. It went out as a proposal to a few different firms, and only a couple came back, and Stantec ended up winning again.
Now, since Kevin Landry was in last meeting, Keach was with him,
mm-hmm.
behind him,
yeah.
Talked about the RSA in the past, I think it was the middle of July,
yes,
that
know.
Said they can use anybody they want.
Yeah.
We have to approve it.
Right. Yes, but they do not have to use the town engineer.
No, they can request it somebody else.
They can
yeah,
request
right.
somebody else, but
right.
we have to approve it.
Okay.
Okay, so that was the...
That's
so that,
the bill
that,
itself.
So, well, like I said, they didn't actually show up together.
Right.
right.
No.
They were both, you know, it was
right.
like...
In the same room at the same time.
Keach was scheduled, and Kevin said, I'm coming in.
Yeah. I don't think it's necessary to go get bids on, because there's nothing to really bid on. It's more of a introductory, how do we feel about you? But
right.
we already have a very strong feeling on good advice from people we respect. I don't see the point of the effort myself, especially when an RSA says that they can, they don't have to use our town engineer, right? So we don't.
Unless you have a discrepancy, now who do you go to as a town engineer?
Yeah.
To represent the town. Say there's a discrepancy on a development. We say it's not finished, they say it is.
Well, if Keach and Nordstrom is the engineer representing
right,
the town.
Right, then we enter an agreement with Keach. We should enter into an agreement with Keach and Nordstrom.
Well, there'll be a work order.
MUI or whatever.
Yeah, there'll be a signed work order, you know, a signed
MOU.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
You know.
Memorandum agreement.
We call them SOWs in my world. Yeah, statements of work. There'll be a signed
right
document that they're representing the town's interest in that particular situation. Just like what we get with Stantec.
Yeah. Oh, no. I enjoyed their presentation. I thought he did a great job representing them. I'm just looking at...
I mean, I can reach out to
the few different ones.
Yeah. I can reach out to Dubois and King and you know, ask for a presentation, you know, a file from them. But, again, I started out exactly where you were, and I ended up where Dave was. It was like I felt a really good...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Really good, solid feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know...
Me too, when I go into a car dealership, and then four months later, I feel the pain.
Unfortunately, you know, what Mark says, it makes a lot of, you know, there's above board, you know, being above the board and the process and stuff. And so that's also very important. So
well, and again, we got at least one project that will be going through Keach and Nordstrom. And if we get in another project, we can use Keach and Nordstrom and see what we think, right? It's because we're not signing any exclusive agreement. We don't have an exclusive agreement that we have to worry about. So we can try it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It's kind of like renting a car before you buy it.
Yeah, I'm going to just stick with the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a, you know, we can make that decision when something comes in.
Yeah,
but I'll reach out to Dubois King because that's another one that.
So what happens with people that already are in down the road with Stantec? With this RSA that passed, they could change horses in midstream and do something else if they want to.
No, we have a signed order with Stantec for 23 Main and all the open projects. So those will not change. Firms in process because they've been it's been signed off on it's done.
So first up, if they said, "Ooh, we really don't want to use them," would be on the hook for Stantec. If they said I wanted to have my own engineering firm, they could go do that. But the Stantec would still be the people that we have look at their engineering stuff.
No, well, we haven't gotten with First Stop to the construction phase yet.
Okay.
Right? So when we get to the construction phase.
I don't know where you are, but you can show me.
I don't know where I am either.
But you can show me.
But we could assign that to Keach and Nordstrom as well and see how it goes.
Technology.
Because we haven't gotten to the middle part yet. Right, the plan reviews and the build are separate work orders.
Maybe it's important.
So, right, because we get the estimate from the engineering firm for reviewing the plans and going through the hearings and stuff, right? And then that gets approved. And then sometimes, you know, that can go away for a year or two. And then they come back in to build. And we get a, you know, estimate from the engineering firm as to what the construction monitoring costs are and have the pre-con meeting. So they're two different, those are two different work orders from the engineering firm.
Okay.
You know, so again, by the time they come back, we will probably give it to somebody other than Stantec, but at this point we could give it to Stantec as well.
Okay.
You know, and I know, again, he said to me on a phone call that I think it was Fremont where Stantec pissed off the board on this one contractor because it was like a trusted local town contractor and it didn't go well. They brought in Kitchen Nordstrom to replace Stantec on that project and then made it an option for applicants which engineering firm they wanted to use. And from that point on, Stantec never got another contract out of Fremont.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'll grab at least one more. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of them out there.
Right.
Because a lot of them are doing applicant work. Because there's a lot of money in that.
Yeah, and I can remember when we went through this before. You remember. We had another chair, and, you know, they had people come in, and then they made the decision after. But at least we did a due diligence and talked them both.
We can bring another one in.
Yeah.
Again, the good news is we got flexibility. Our options are open. We're not tied to anything. All right.
And this one project they're doing could be like a honeymoon.
Right.
To see how it works.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, I think Dave, you actually asked that question, you know. What's the downside? And it's like, there's only not a downside, but we get to test drive Kitchen Nordstrom for free.
Yeah.
So. Boxes downstairs.
Remember, we were talking about
the files. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
The digitizing of files.
Oh, correct. Yes. Yes. I was thinking she was talking about this box downstairs for you to pick up. Megan has made many a trip into the dungeons of the town office building here to look up meeting minutes from 1989 and 91 and a few other things. And it would behoove us, and I don't know how we'd go about doing it, but it would behoove us to digitize those in some way, shape, or fashion so that we have them. And there's certain documents we can't find. They may be down there, but we're not certain they're down there. So I just throw that out there as that's something the board would like to look at, what would be involved in getting those digitized.
Sounds like a big job.
We could go to microfiche instead.
I mentioned that to Meg when she was telling me this.
But she,
like,
doesn't
microfiche.
Put them
in the tray, and, right? You know.
Oh, I remember doing research with that. Oh my heavens!
I was a motorcycle parts guy.
Yeah.
In high school, right, beginning of high school, because it was my brother's business, so they got cheap labor sitting there. Like, is that the? No, it's not that.
Yeah, or we could put it on CD.
Yeah. How do you read CDs? At work, one of our services, people get their information in CD-ROMs. And there are still people buying that CD-ROM service. Now, you can't even buy a CD-ROM reader anymore. I actually just had a customer, like 6 months ago, call up and say they wanted a second set of CD-ROMs every month. Why? Are you making Christmas tree ornaments or something? Oh, man.
The USBs.
But yeah, I don't know, you know, what costs are. I mean, I know they're picking at it a little at a time, but there's a lot of stuff down there in terms of planning documents that...
So is it scanned and then put into the computer like you would do photographs?
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like standing in a copier, effectively, and taking a page, turning it down, and having it go like that, and go to the PDF, 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 PDF.
Yep.
There's one.
Yep.
So, but there are firms that do it with doc feeders, and it's, you know, it does text recognition, so it can...
Okay, now you're talking.
Indexes and all that.
Yeah, because I'm thinking if somebody has to do this manually, it would not. But if you have, efficient machines that are doing it, I say definitely do it. Because with the AI, then you can just, you know how it works. You could pick out stuff like, okay, any document that had something to do with Class 6 roads, you'd have it. Yeah. So, yeah, if there's a good way to do it, yeah, I'm all for it.
I can check into what, take a look at what's available out there and what the costs may or may not be. And
definitely down to the time.
Yeah.
Budget processes.
I don't mind looking that up for you.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome, girl. Go
you,
for
go,
it.
Girl.
Our town, they digitized a lot of the stuff in the archives downstairs. So
nice.
Oh, but yeah, how long ago was that?
Oh, that was a little while ago. But updated.
Well, no, but like, but like AI right now might be able to just take those in, instantly ingest them, and put them into
chronological order.
Or just, yeah, like, not as a photo, like as a one continuous document that's searchable.
Yeah,
with hyperlinks.
AI like, can also do character recognition on text and stuff now too. I mean,
it also can add a fifth and sixth leg to people and. Yeah.
Yes. I won't argue that. Oh, I want to loop back around to town engineer. You spoke to at least two of their of Keach's references, right?
I did. They were both from Hampstead, and they had glowing reports. It was one was the their DPW person. I thought that would be a good fit. I didn't bring the paper with me. I was rushing out of the house, and the other was the planning. The planning person, you know, the head of planning.
Town planner.
They have one?
Yep. And then, they were both glowing reports. Reports were on time. They were clear, concise. They haven't heard any complaints, and they were happy with that. There was two others that I called. I left messages, but I never heard from them, from the other two towns. I didn't hear back, but I got them right away.
Cool.
Awesome.
And I called Tim right away.
Get that off her plate.
Check.
Hot potato.
Yeah. You know. I just think that, you know, we may get more and more things. And I do know from my friend Jim McLeod over in Raymond, I mean, they're in a whole different situation than we are. But they're in a lot of litigations, and they're being asked to pull documents, massive amounts of documents way back in time in litigation, because the lawyers just try to flood you with crap to bog you down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's wise that we try to look at this before we get to that point where we've got an army of people downstairs trying to find, you know, the planning board meetings from 1962. You know.
In heaven. Was until the 70s.
When was the flood?
Oh yeah, when was that? When did that get flooded?
I didn't know. Was there a flood? I would just say it was before the flood. Sorry.
There was one at the library, but I don't think that counts.
Well, no, supposedly there was water damage to documents in the basement.
But yeah, let's get them out of the basement. Get them digitized. Let's move into the 21st century.
Yeah, we're still there.
Yeah, we don't need it right now, but it's best to be
proactive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
proactive.
Be ahead of the curve. And that's all I've got.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, I was going to talk about the solar. The solar, that was really, really good. And I was looking at a few towns for a family member. So I was going through planning and all of that. And Belmont has a really nice solar application that I copied. And then Gilmanton also had a lot of nice, very succinct ordinances for solar, based on basically what the New Hampshire solar.
Excellent.
Was it green energy, was it called? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I know. I watch it and then, but I don't know whether I can share, this with... With you?
Oh. Well, why don't you take those, scan them, and email them around?
Absolutely.
Does that work? Is that way there we all go? Because, I'd like to look at those.
Okay.
Nice work, Linda.
If you give it to me or anybody else, it's just one person. Meg can get it to all of us.
Okay.
It was an interesting, I called the meeting too. It was a very interesting, but I didn't do any homework after.
Well, I wouldn't have, but I'm looking for my son, so I'm looking at different, their school systems, and what the town looks like planning-wise. Reading their town meetings, and this is the time you're going to pick.
That makes sense. Yeah,
I'm a researcher by habit, I guess.
So that is, I'll just add to that. That is something we have got to think about in terms of what do we want to do in terms of zoning ordinance change for March, if anything. I've got nothing at the top of my head right now. But certainly maybe we could do solar.
Yeah.
May not be a bad one to do it. Another one that we should think about is changing the, adding a little bit to the ADU ordinance that just says if a major subdivision comes in and they intend to do ADUs, that should be included on the site plan. Because right now it's not. It doesn't say anything about including those in the site plan. Just a little loophole that could come back and bite us in the keister at some point in time.
Because like we talked about Chester, and they have a at-will ADU policy, so we knew that if Crowley Road got approved, potential was each of those that have it also an ADU.
Correct, right. Which is now state law.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. So, you know, I think that's an important... I mean, it's just a little minor edit, but I think it's something we should put in, too.
Would we want to think about the lighting situation with the yellow bulbs and the motion sensor, or is that not under this?
You know, that's a good point. Hold on, I want to make notes here. Solar, ADU subdivision. Just so I can remember what I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Actually, just in terms of looking at the lighting period, and I think we at a minimum want to add in there something that lighting in residential areas should be kept to a minimum.
Mm.
You know,
and maybe consider using those technologies.
Correct.
Yeah, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a valid change we should make, because we end up giving variances for lighting so many times, and why not just put it in there that it should be kept to a minimum? And use of motion sensors and yellow or dim colored lighting is preferred.
Well, don't we have a dark sky ordinance or something like that in our regs? I thought we were working on that.
I know we encourage it, but I wasn't sure how much. That's good.
Well, I know we've got the requirements for, you know, the cutoffs, right, so that it doesn't go up.
Right. That's what the dark sky is. Yeah.
But that doesn't prevent the street in the neighborhood from getting blasted.
Is there any, if you buy a LEDs, they always come with a dip switch that will let you change the warmth or the frequency of the light, right? Is there any known information about, like, which one is cooler or, like, least obtrusive, like, from a distance? Do you know what I mean? Like, warmer might be less observable from a distance.
I would think it would be. I don't have a...
I don't know if you've ever seen any of the satellite photos of, like, North America time. But what's happened with the LED replacement in cities, it's obnoxiously brighter. Like if you look at a map, a photo from 10 years ago to now, it's an incredible difference from space.
Huh. Yeah, I would imagine the whiter the light, the longer it would. Right,
it's brighter.
It's like you know, you never see a cop with a yellow or blue flashlight, right? You know, the searchlights are always the brightest, whitest light. So I would just think that would travel the best. But yeah, I think those are. So I'll start pulling some stuff together on that, so that we can do like we did with the other amendments. Just gradually talk about it over time, beat the hell out of it.
I think some of these developments. So I think wherever people are going to congregate, either at a clubhouse or at a mail stop or something like that, should have some type of lighting.
Yes. Oh yeah,
but I think that's where sensors would make good sense, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just for the safety factor.
Yeah,
you don't need them for every corner or everything else, but
the nice thing about motion sensors is, if you go to a dark place, it's unlikely somebody's lurking there because it's really hard to be completely motionless, right? Right. So usually it'd be lit up. If you get there and it's already lit up, you know someone is there or has been there recently. The under one roof deer run thing, did the building inspector go look at that at all, do you know?
Yes, he did. I don't know if he's looked at it recently. He said he was going to keep going back there, but I don't know if he's looked at it recently.
Everything's copacetic?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He said he didn't realize how much they had to pull out of there to meet the excavation lines on their plan. So far, as far as we know, they're...
compliant.
They're compliant.
Seems like it's all rock.
Yeah. Pulled out a lot of rock.
Yeah.
Pulled out a lot of material.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, now, I don't know if he's paying the town charges or not.
I think you only have to do that if it's licensed to pit.
No.
I
our ordinance, I think, said any removal they have to pay. If they remove it, they have to pay. It's like a penny a ton or something.
I think you said 0.2 cents a ton.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So a 20-ton truck would be a dime or something like
that. It's hardly worth messing with, right?
With the work.
Yeah.
Longer to do the paperwork, right?
I mean, it probably makes sense in a commercial pit, but for this guy, I think he was sitting here and said, I'll write you the $200 check now.
Right, yeah.
You know? So, yeah, as far as we know, that's still... okay. I looked at it today and it looks like he's gone back a little bit, but again, it wasn't a big difference from when we talked a couple weeks back. And did you hear somebody broke into their cash drawer at their...
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think last year there was a lot of farm stands that had that issue. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's unfortunate.
All right. Anybody else got anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
You started first.
Stereo.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good.
I was doing